Chapter 9. First Causes. Opening questions. Does anything exist that does not have a cause? Do explosions organize matter? Do human beings, that is, extremely complex, genetically coded organic machines with interdependent subsystems, exist? Do two people having sexual intercourse and fertilizing an egg amount to their designing a human being? Is the genetic code a language? Before we move to the next section, let us take one more look at some helpful aspects of inductive reasoning. Everything that exists has to have a sufficient cause to account for its existence. This statement applies to all things in the time-space-matter universe. For example, a stone was caused by something. It did not just appear. There was a geological formation process behind that stone, as well as physical forces that shaped and moved it to its present location. Anything physical that you can imagine had a cause. It did not just happen or appear. Please think about that and confirm that is true in your own mind. Furthermore, any relatively complex physical thing, like a man-made machine, has some cause sufficient to account for its existence. Gorillas or chimpanzees are not a sufficient cause, for example, to account for the existence of a bicycle. The bicycle, although a relatively simple machine, nevertheless has dependent subsystems that require a designer well beyond the capabilities of an ape to engineer the bicycle for its intended purpose. As we have seen, physical things are not sufficient to account for non-physical realities, like the human mind, soul, or reason. A physical thing is not a sufficient cause for a metaphysical thing. As an analogy, a computer's hardware is not a sufficient cause for its software. This author admits this is an imperfect analogy, since software is physical in the sense it is made up of electronic bits. But electronic bits are the foundation for a language which uses the metaphysical laws of logic, which language was created by metaphysical minds who reason. Ironically, reason and logic themselves are metaphysical in nature. While describing them and the principles on which they operate can be written down, they are in the mind of the human being before they are written down. Mathematics is the purest form of logic, yet again, numbers don't exist physically. They exist as concepts in human minds, which can find representation for those concepts in the physical world. For example, I am with someone and we see three ducks swimming on a pond. The concept of three is represented by the number of ducks we see on the pond. As another example of first and sufficient causes, atoms to organs and a bit of biochemical energy are not a sufficient cause for abstract thought, moral intuition, or sentience. There must be a sufficient cause to account for those things. Bricks, wood, metal, and plastic cannot account for the love story being conveyed in the theater. In the same way, atoms, molecules, proteins, cells, tissues, organs, and organ systems cannot account for the love or forgiveness that is real and exists among some people. Stated another way, love is real. It is perhaps the most important aspect of human existence, and it has the power, so to speak, to solve the problems addressed in this book. Yet love, properly understood, is metaphysical. It has no physical aspect to it regarding its existence, for it is a concept held and known in the human mind and heart that causes behavior. This all-important concept called love is metaphysical in nature, and it must have a sufficient cause to account for its existence. The physicalist would have you believe that love is just an emotion based on chemical reactions. That is both the wrong understanding of the concept of love as well as one of the physicalist's more irrational claims. Again, true love lays down one's life for another, selfless behavior empowered by compassion. And no evolutionary or chemical hypothesis is adequate to explain that reality. For example, when a man is in a fighting situation and sees a friend who is about to be killed by a hand grenade, it is not emotion or chemicals that cause him to jump on the hand grenade and die for his friend. In fact, if anything, the emotions associated with the understanding of physical danger would tend to push his will towards self-preservation. Rather, he sees a friend who he cares about, and he decides that he would rather give his life for the life of his friend. Love is first a value judgment. What do I value, and how highly do I value it? Once that which is valuable is identified, I then behave selflessly in the best interest of the person that I value highly or love. We were not designed to love things, rather only people. One could make a case for loving animals, but only if it is secondary to loving people. You see, dear reader, reason points to a designer or a creator, the first and sufficient cause for metaphysical realities like our minds, our consciousness, and love. Non-theists will argue that God, therefore, needs a first cause for his or her existence, and that is a valid argument. I admit it is a weakness in this line of reasoning. My response would be perhaps metaphysical beings in other dimensions operate with different rules. In other words, the definition of metaphysical is beyond physical, not able to be detected by our five senses. Thus, it is reasonable to believe that additional or different rules apply in that realm, since we cannot validate them. The same could be said for a dimension, or a being that exists in a dimension, that exists outside the matter, energy, time dimension we exist in. However, the question of what caused God to exist, while interesting and valid, is not relevant to our existence, for we do exist, and there needs to be a sufficient cause for our existence. Since we exist and our bodies are complex organic machines with interdependent subsystems, a system designer or creator designer is the required cause for that existence. Again, we exist, that is undeniable, so the question is what cause best explains our existence? While non-theists and evolutionists try and put forth an alternative case to our existence, cause to our existence, that alternative is not reasonable for several reasons, one of which is stated is statistically impossible. Essentially, evolutionists argue in the beginning was hydrogen gas, and then something caused a huge explosion, and that explosion led to complex organic machines, hardware with metaphysical components, software. Not only does the second law of thermodynamics and the science of mathematical probability work against the physical aspects of that claim, but reason does as well. In fact, reason itself, since it is metaphysical in nature, says that it is unreasonable to claim that nothing creates something, or that the hardware caused the software. This author highly encourages the reader to, in fact, learn critical thinking skills, for they are essential to both find truth and to help solve the problems this world is experiencing. In fact, not being able to reason well and putting logic aside will lead to falsehood, not truth, and yet this is where the majority of people in the world are today. Let us take a look at this fact, that the majority of people in the world are no longer operating by sound reason in some critical areas, in the next section. If we do that well, it will help us greatly in understanding the successful failure that is Christianity. Chapter summary. Everything that exists has a cause to its existence. A gigantic explosion and natural forces cannot reasonably account for the existence of complex organic machines, nor can it account for our metaphysical components. We humans do exist, therefore we have a cause. We did not just happen through random natural forces, any more than a complex inorganic machine like an automobile could happen through random physical forces. To claim that we exist due to our parents' sexual activity is a fallacious argument, since our parents did not design us, but rather just brought the sperm and egg together, which began the amazing DNA code-led process of creating our physical bodies. Our first cause was a designer who understood and could create incredibly complex organic machines, run by a genetic code that humans are only starting to understand.